And again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And Brother Zengre is going to come and preach the word of God to us. We are glad for him and his wife and their ministry over the years. And we look forward to that tonight. And then I usually let people know this. We'll be taking them to Culver's after church if anyone wants to join us. But I remind you, if you join us, it's on your own dime, okay? So sometimes you say, join us, and people think, oh, okay, I'll come. Yeah. So anyway, we are going to take them tonight, and then we're going to take Jaden with us tonight as well. And you're welcome to come along as well, but it's on your own treat. So, okay. Come ahead, preach to us, please.
Thank you, Pastor Decker. Well, how many's glad to be in the house of God? Amen. I appreciate that vibrant song service in Pastor Decker and Brother Christian. It's been a great source of encouragement to us to be in a church where there's a vibrancy in singing for the Lord and worshiping the Lord. Been a blessing to us. Appreciate that. And never take that for granted, to sing the old-time hymns of the faith and to worship our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for being a blessing to my wife and I. We appreciate all your acts of kindnesses to us since we've been here. It's been a thrill to be here, and you've ministered to us far more than I could believe that I've ever ministered to you. So thank you so much, and we look forward to what God will do with Ottumwa Baptist Temple. I know under Pastor Decker's leadership, there's been some great strides made in the community of Ottumwa. And for that, I'm thankful to hear about those great strides that are being made. And we'll have a heartbeat to think and to believe that God could really turn the tide in Ottumwa, Iowa. I believe that with all my heart. So I'm going to just share with you for a few moments. In November of 2005, I was commissioned and sent as a missionary evangelist, a local church evangelist out of Valley Baptist Church in Oswego, Illinois, and Pastor David Hemphill. And I purposed in my heart at 50 years old, with the remaining years that I had left, that, and I'm not anything, but I was going to fight the devil every step of the way until the Lord takes me home. I don't know about you, but maybe you're sour on America. Maybe you've been infiltrated with the doomsdayers and the propagandists and the misinformationists, and you just don't believe that God could do something mighty in America. I love America, and I want you to know something. The compelling burden of my heart, and I'm not anybody, I've said that many times, and I take great comfort in knowing that I'm nobody, but God is somebody, and he's somebody big, and my burden is revival for America. Now, I know preachers, and that's okay, that's their business. I don't want to step into their business. No, I don't want to do that. They just don't believe that we could have another revival in America. I know there's quite a few. You may know some. You may be one of those people that say, the best we can do is wait for the Lord to come and take us home. And that's a great thought, as we sang about. But the Bible says, to those who love his appearing, he'll come. And loving his appearing means loving him who is appearing. So I'm going to preach a message tonight on revival, as Pastor Decker has shared with you, much more than helping churches that are in need of rescue or revival. My burden is to have open doors of God to go into churches where there's a genuine remnant of God's people who are hungering and thirsting for revival. And I'm telling you, I have found in every church, it's a small remnant, but they're there. They're longing for it. They're wanting it. And for that reason, I'm encouraged that God could send another revival. If not worldwide, if not national revival, although I believe God could do that. How about corporate revival, local church revival, revival in Ottumwa, Iowa, in pursuant to those who are willing to pay the price for it? You cannot schedule a revival. That's God's business, but you can schedule a meeting for revival where you pray and you seek God's face to do what only God can do. Before I get any invitations, I start to pray. God, show up there. Show up there. You say, well, come on. We're independent fundamental Baptists. We've got a corner on God. Really? Really? I oftentimes say this when I preach, and I'm not trying to ramble away the time, but Pastor Decker did say there's no restraints on Sunday nights. But anyway, I oftentimes say this, if we've got the right Jesus and we got the right Bible and we got the right doctrine and the right church, I think God in heaven is saying, what are you folks doing with all that you got right? And I'm encouraged to hear, I talked to Pastor Decker last night and somewhere, I don't know where it was, but I read recently about him going before the city council, and I didn't know all the details about it, but I was glad to hear of a man that didn't necessarily want to run people away that could eventually come to his church, but showed in a public forum, a public meeting, that listen, we want to recognize the things that are right with God, and that gives me encouragement that maybe already God is willing to do something through you dear folks at Ottumwa Baptist Temple in Ottumwa to exalt and glorify God to where others come under conviction and realize that God is worth living for. Amen? And so I'm encouraged by that. And I just want you to know, I have seen, not because of me, but because of prayer. When I pray before I go to Ottumwa, when I pray before I go to Lyons, New York, I pray, God, show up there. God, show up there. I'm not an evangelist that needs another meeting. I'm not an evangelist that needs more money. I'm not an evangelist that needs notoriety or public acclaim among the church brethren. But God, show up there. Do what only you can do. I want God to do that in my life. I'm 71 years old. I've been saved for 49 years this year, preaching for 44. I don't say that to impress upon you, but I am telling you what I want more than anything in my life right now. God, show up. God, do something in my life, in my ministry that only you can do, that I have to fall back and say, God, you're the Lord God Almighty. You say, wow, that's it. You really are something special. No. The saints of old, that's what they longed for. We've got all the methods, the machinery. We've got a lot of synthetic Pentecosts, but we've never really had a manifestation of God like they had on the day of Pentecost, and I believe we could see that again. I do. You say, well, you don't know much about prophecy. On purpose, I don't. On purpose. Here's what I know about prophecy. Jesus is coming again. And I need to be ready. And so do you. Thank you for picking up some of these cards and praying for us. You young children here have been such a blessing to me. If I run out, I've got some more. I just beg your prayers. And if you can remember one thing, I don't know his name, maybe, but wherever you send that guy, God, show up there. That's what I want. Take your Bibles and go with me to 2 Chronicles, a well preached on passage. And I want you to look at verse number one, and I know that you probably already are figuring out I'm going to read to verse number 14, which in my humble estimation, it's been preached on so much it's become a proverb, because on the topic of revival, when all is said and done, more is said than done. Say, what do we look? You've got wonderful young children here. You've got young couples that are going to be married. You got folks here that are bleeding in their heart over a nation at one time had the blessings of God on it, and they're gone now. I just want to preach a few minutes on what I see in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. I believe it's something that we've really either have never been aware of or we've lost sight of, and I want it to be a help. So if you could and you would, let's stand out of respect for the reading of God's word, and then we'll get right into the message. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7, starting in verse number 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying. Hey, maybe I should stop there. Maybe I should. You want me to? Raise your hand. Don't you raise your hand. The fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Ho! And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and the king Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with their instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath under the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, I know the church is not spiritual Israel, but listen, there's an application, there's a parallel that can be made here. God is God of Israel, God is God of your relationship with Him, and God keeps His promises, and there's a parallel, and we can make application here. And by the way, that's a covenant promise to a nation. To a nation. And I just want to preach on tonight what I believe is the key to national revival. Or, let me flip the other way, the hard part of revival. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for Pastor Decker, his ministry, Ottumwa Baptist Temple, what you're doing here, and what I believe is a great possibility of what you could yet do through them in Ottumwa. And Father, I ask you to show up, manifest your great power and your presence in their ministry to this area. And Father, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified tonight, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Leonard Ravenhill was a missionary evangelist in the 1900s, born in England, later emigrated to the United States, and he's written several books. Why Revival Tarries is one of them. I'd recommend you get it and read it. Another one, Revival God's Way. But anyway, he has said this about today's church. The church has many organizers, but few agonizers. Many who pay, but few who pray. Many resters, but few wrestlers. Many who are enterprising, but few who are interceding. People who are not praying are playing. Vance Hafner, Mrs. Decker, and others, he was, I don't know if you want me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. He was an old-time Southern Baptist evangelist, a great revivalist in the 1900s. He said this, "We are suffering today from a species of Christianity that's as dry as dust, cold as ice, pale as a corpse, and dead as King Tut. We are suffering not from a lack of correct heads." We got all the correct heads, and boy, we toot our horns on it. And I believe with all my heart in taking the right stance for the glory of God. But I want to be in the right standing with God so He can do something in and through my life. We are suffering, Vance says, not from a lack of correct heads, but a lack of consumed hearts. And we see this promise made by God to Solomon, to his people, Israel. And it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Maybe I should stop there. By the way, can I share something with you? You probably already know it. The disciples never came to Jesus and one time asked him how to teach them to preach. Not one time. But they did come to him and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Now, that may not go too good with you, but take me to task if you want to. I'll make myself available in the back. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I don't know about you, but isn't it time we recognize, instead of just being of a certain political persuasion, a certain stance or bent, isn't it about time that we recognize that our land needs healing from the hand of God? Amen and amen. I know when I pastored my last church in Morris, Illinois, Ashley Road Baptist Church, that's where I got to know Pastor Decker and Colleen and the family. Listen, I'm not saying we were anything, but you know what? When God opened the door for me to pastor three churches before I ever showed up there and stepped my foot on that soil, I believed God wanted me to go to that community and conquer it for Christ. And when I got to Morris, it was the same thing. And you know what we did? The men prayed at 5:30 in the morning on Wednesdays. The ones that were going to the first shift, going to work, who were willing. We prayed on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock. We prayed before every single service in the prayer room. We prayed corporately as we held church services. We prayed. We sought God for revival in our church in Morris. And I'll have to tell you, we saw plenty of mercy drops. Plenty of them. And for that, we praise God. But for the showers of blessing we were pleading for that would spread from us and go outward, we didn't get that. But it wasn't for lack of praying. But here's where I'm going. You know what the key to national revival is? It's the hard part. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14 again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That's the key. And for some strange reason, because we're Americans, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. For some strange reason, we no longer, for the most part, see the need to humble ourselves. May I recall the story? I think it was just in Sunday school somewhere here. Someone was telling me about it, of the two men in Luke chapter 18 that went up the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican, and the one prayed thus, this way and this way, and thank God that he wasn't like other men are, in a paraphrase. But he just prayed with himself is what he did. It got nowhere. But the publican, tax collector, despised by society, knowing that he was a sinner, probably a thief, stood afar off in the temple, wouldn't even look so much up into heaven, smote himself on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible goes on to say, I'll tell you which man, in a paraphrase, went away justified. It was a man who humbled himself who went away. Listen, you had to humble yourself to get genuinely saved. I mean, you could be told you need it. You could be told that. And by the way, a child, like Mrs. Decker was telling us at lunch, they when they recognize, when that light goes on that they need the Savior, that they're a sinner and God promises them a heaven, right away you can see the humility that comes out of them. And it's a state of humility. Yeah, I want him. Yeah, I'll call upon him. Give me that Savior. But the hard part of revival and the key to national revival is being willing to humble ourselves. That's what you had to do to get saved. And I want to show you something that I see here. It says again in verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Let me teach you something here. Nobody, starting with me, truly praise until they humble themselves. To see our need and to see God's great power, we recognize that we have the privilege and the access to go before Almighty God and bring our requests and supplications to Him. No one truly prays until they humble themselves. Can you recount that in your life? Can you say in your daily life when you get alone with God that you recognize, maybe not verbally, but in your heart, that I'm going before Almighty God. And I have an open door through Jesus Christ, my Savior, to come before Him just as I am and say, God, I need You. God, I bring this before You. God, I don't have the ability. I don't have the power. I don't have the resources to do it on my own. And God, I'm coming before You. And that's an act of contrition. That's an act of humility. No one truly prays until they humble themselves. Otherwise, it's just the Pharisee that rests in all of us. And look at the next part. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. No one truly seeks the face of God until they come before Him in prayer. Listen, so oftentimes we come before God with an outstretched hand. Instead of wanting to be in His presence, looking into His face like Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6 when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, in His train filled the temple, and the cherubims and the seraphims hovered over Him, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And what did Isaiah say in Isaiah 6:5? "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, I am undone, and I live among a people that are unclean." No one really seeks God's face until they pray. Oftentimes we look for the gift from God instead of the God of the gift. I'm telling you, the key is to humble ourselves. That's the hard part. And I understand, we're flesh. I understand, I like fellowshipping with Pastor Decker, and he talks about, because there's no righteousness, there's lack of conviction. He talks about our culture has so far strayed from God that there's no thought of God hardly in anybody's life. I like that conversation. Not because I like the condition I'm living in, but there's a man of God recognizing there's a great need. So we must humble ourselves. If we humble ourselves, we'll pray. If we'll pray, we're not seeking what we want. We're not seeking what will turn the tide that might affect us. We're seeking God's face. God, You and You alone can do what needs to be done. And then it goes on to say, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. No one truly gets anywhere with God until they humble themselves. And no one truly prays until they humble themselves. And no one truly turns from their wicked ways until they seek the face of God. And when you look at the righteousness of God in our own unworthiness, and how he stooped so low and condescended to men of such low estate like you and I. Worms, sinners. He came down and saved a wretch like me, like John Newton penned in Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. No one truly turns from their wicked ways until they humble themselves, pray, seeking God's face, and we'll turn from our wicked ways. Some people say, well, God's going to have to humble me. He will if he wants to. I heard early on in my life I was wet behind the ears as a believer. Wet behind the ears. I was a rookie. I kind of feel that way still at 71. I heard this message in a little storefront church at a revival meeting in Diamond, Illinois, right outside of Cold City, Illinois, where I was living at the time. And the preacher said, here's the title of his message, I've never forgotten it, The High Cost of Low Living. The High Cost of Low Living. I mean, he wasn't a famous preacher. He was a local preacher, but a good preacher. And this is what I caught for me when I was wet behind the ears, a rookie, saying, what does God want me to do? How does God want me to live? He said this, God won't stop you from what you want to do, but you can't stop God from doing what he wants to do to you either. I've never forgotten that. It got a hold of my heart. And humble themselves. That's first. I won't believe that God could move in our midst and bring another revival until I humble myself. I won't really pray and ask God to send one until I humble myself. I won't really pray and seek God's face until I humble myself. And I won't really pray, seek God's face, and turn from my wicked ways until I humble myself. It won't happen. The Bible teaches, and I know sometimes we pray for our loved ones, God, humble them. Here's how we ought to pray. God, bring them to the place of self-humility. We still have free will. I believe with all my heart, I love the preacher, brethren. But no way is anybody, famous or non-famous, already on a pedestal in glory, going to tell me that the God I serve and the God I know can't keep a covenant promise to a nation or to a people. No one's going to tell me that. Vance Hafner used to say a revival could have broke out in a lot of churches that he went to if it wasn't for the pastor who was writing out his time till retirement. And thank God, and I'm not a flatterer, thank God I don't sense that heartbeat in your pastor. Boy, what's taking place through your prayers and your efforts to awaken an area is so encouraging to me. See, why do I need to encourage you? You're saying that to me? Because I really want revival. I know most of this message will go, I don't know, it's like a foreign subject anymore. I think, you know, you say, boy, he's a pretty good preacher. I'm glad he was here, but we'll just go about our ways. Tomorrow's Monday. There we go. We have a hard time humbling ourselves, but that's what we had to do when we came to Jesus. Why does it stop now? Why? Why? I don't know. It breaks my heart. Vance Hafner said a revival is the church falling in love with Jesus Christ all over again. Gushing over him. holding him tightly, saying, Christ is all I need. It's not worked up, it's prayed down. It's not scheduled, it's longed for. Leonard Ravenhill said, true revival changes the moral climate of an area or a nation. Why would a pastor of a church say, we can't stand back and accept, we're constituents of this community, we're voters, we can't stand back and let moral perversion reign when we have a voice from God and for God, that's our responsibility, we're going to make a difference. Wonderful. Just wonderful. Let me close with a few. And he says, then will I hear from heaven. How can anybody write that out of the Bible? We're saying we don't want to be unbiblical. Amen? But so many are willing to be extra-biblical. We see it, but we don't believe it. That's extra-biblical. They're the same. And heal their land. Go to Isaiah 57:15 as I begin to close. I appreciate you paying attention. Listen, I'm not trying to be inspirational. You know what I know about trying to be inspirational? It doesn't work. Why put my hand to something that doesn't work? I'm trying to be instructional. The Bible's not an inspirational book, it's an instructional book. And if you take the instruction in the Word of God, you'll get the inspiration you need to be what God wants you to be. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. No one will ever long and thirst for revival in their lifetime, in their church, in their community, until they first humble themselves. No one will really pray and ask God to send one until they first humble themselves. No one will really pray and in their prayer seek God's face until they first humble themselves. And no one will really pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways until they first humble themselves. Give up on us and take hold of thee, O God. And then go with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Why not emphasize what Scripture says? I like to hear the turning of the leaves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's the key. Are we willing to pay the price? Or has, I don't know, and I don't believe possibly that it's here. It's none of my business. But is it the church building mentality that we've hung on to? Or is it our hearts bleeding that God would show up in our personal lives and in our church and in our community and do what only He can do? It'll take humility. Are we willing to pay the price? I'm not going to meddle in your business after I'm gone. I'm going to go away saying, I think there's a fire kindled here that if you'll humble yourselves, and I'm not saying you haven't, it seems like, I'll give you an example. I'm not trying to flatter you, Pastor Decker. Why would he go before the city council in an area where he's trying to reach for Christ, knowing the unrighteousness in the counterculture against Christ and the God all around us? Why would he be willing? He said, the church has got great people in it. It's doing good. Why would he be willing to do that? Why, there's a great risk in doing that. Why? It took humility for your pastor to do that. Maybe because he wants God to show up in a tumult. Why did he come here in the first place? There's a hymn, Do You Really Want Revival? Let me close with this. Do you really want revival? Do you really want God's power? Do you really want His Spirit to control your life? Oh, repent and turn to Jesus. Seek His face and humbly pray. Do you really want revival? Are you willing to obey? Are you praying for revival? Are you praying for God's power? Are you praying for His Spirit to control your life this hour? Oh, the Lord is ever faithful. He will hear us when we pray. Are you praying for revival? Are you willing to obey? Yes, I really want revival. Yes, I really want God's power. And I really want His Spirit to control my life this hour. Oh, I'm looking now to Jesus. I will seek His face and pray. For I really want revival. I am willing to obey. I am willing to obey. You put a priority. I saw God do great things in the pastoral ministry that I was in. I've seen God do great things, things that no one could put their hand on in my revival meetings. But it came through humility and the high price of praying and begging God to do what only He can do. Thanks for listening. You've been so gracious and kind to us. Appreciate all your acts of kindness. Really do. I'll tell you, I hope you'll move. Remember, when all is said and done, you can read the revival fires, and I'm not against any of that stuff. You hear preachers say from the pulpit, we really need to pray for it. It's on midweek prayer meetings, prayer lists. At least it's there. Going to take humbling ourselves and paying the price. Prayer. I don't know what you do, but here's what I pray every day. This is another evidence. The Bible isn't just evidence that we're on the right side. The Bible is evidence that God is true and God is able and God will. Psalm 85:6. Wilt thou not revive us again? That's God's people. That thy people may rejoice in thee. Good night if it's in the Bible. God's word is true. God is able and God's willing to do it. Just let's ask Him for it. Thank God. Let's stand and heads bowed. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for this church, these people, Pastor Decker and his family. And I ask You to open our hearts, open the floodgates. And Father, may we humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways and claim the promise. Give liberty tonight. Some of us have been at it a long time. So what? Our country's dying and going to hell. The wicked will be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God, and we sit back and say, we'd love to see one, but are we willing to pay the price? So God, work in hearts as only you can, in Jesus' name. As the musicians play, why don't you just come, and Pastor Decker's going to come and close the service, maybe give a challenge. Why don't you just come and meet with God here?